Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Hey gang, thanks for listening to Marriage Therapy Radio. This is Zach. I'm here with Laura, and we are doing a speed podcast today. We just hopped on the phone and started talking. Hey, speaking of phone, we have a phone number. We're going to give that to you today in case you want to call in with questions. We actually already got our first call. You're going to hear that today, so stick around.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going? This week has been insane. Do you know, like, it's... I don't know. It's like snowpocalypse, snowbageddon.
It's really, the kids have been out of school for a week now, right?
It's been a long time. It's been a very long time.
Have there been any murders in your household? I'm just very curious.
No, although I did show Abby The Dark Knight last night, the one with Heath Ledger as the Joker.
It
was pretty good.
It was pretty good. Did you tell her what ended up happening to Heath Ledger?
No, not yet.
Oh, all right.
But next week is midwinter break, so we have another week of them not being home.
Are they going to take a midwinter break? This is, yeah, for those of you, a lot of people don't know what a midwinter break is because they end up getting out of school. Yeah. So it's just this, like, you get a spring break also. So you get a midwinter break and a spring break, and then school's out the end of June.
Yep.
All right. Well, yep. My mom's enjoying it. She is so stoked about being home. But she's thinking basically that school will go into summer. So we'll see about that. Other than that, I have to tell you, I went back and I was watching our videos that we did maybe 2 years ago or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I did not realize how thin
handsome.
Your face. Yes. How thin and handsome you were during the video shoot.
I thought you were going to say how handsome I am now. But
you're
no.
always, you are always handsome, but you were exceptionally handsome back then.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Just saying.
Well, I'm glad that you found the videos. Yeah. I thought they were lost in the cavern of lostness, but
nope, they are still around.
Maybe people can look at them sometime.
Maybe I'll let people know. Hey, you know what's really interesting? This is so cool, you guys. We have a new, like a line that you can call into. And if you have questions or responses, or a comment like, hey, Laura, you were so obnoxious in the last episode, which I was. I have to close the gap about our last episode. So if you listen to defensiveness, I had a rant about a friend who canceled on me to go rock climbing.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. And I kid you not, that episode came out and she called me maybe an hour after it aired. And like a true, just really evolved human being, I avoided her phone call until I could thoroughly process what conversation was going to go down. And I was really proud of myself because generally if somebody's like, hey, So did I upset you? I would normally be like, oh no, everything's fine. It's totally great.
Instead, you published it to the entire world.
So I have to apologize just probably to you, to like the listeners, for being such a horrible example of just being in a moment. I was in a mood. Anyway, we made dinner last night together and I think we made up and cool. No words were spoken, but we really showed each other love through our actions.
Hey. This phone number, do you know what it is?
I'll have to look it up. We'll do, cool. I'll
because
let
listen
people
to this.
Know.
Wait, It'll... but here's a good idea.
What?
This, so next month we have an event coming up.
That's true.
It's a conference that we do, on the seven principles. It's a Gottman conference. Mm-hmm. And we have a testimonial because one of the people who went to the conference.
Yeah. She already called in.
She already called in the number. So we're going to play that like soon today, right?
With this episode. Yeah. So you can know. Yeah. All right.
What
that's
it sounds like when you call in. We'll give you the phone number because you can call in and tell us how much you love us. Or if you ask questions, we can play them like in real time on the real thing.
That's right. Or if you have a comment, we will listen to it and we will laugh so hard.
I'm sad that 2 years ago, my face was super thin and you basically just called me fat again.
Yeah, in so many words. That's what friendship's all about. So here's what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about something that I'm seeing in my practice. And I've seen this over and over and over. Where basically, you're so frustrated and angry with your partner that all your partner gets out of you is criticism, is yelling, is contempt. I mean, all of these really negative behaviors. That's all that they're getting. And then you sit back and you say, why don't you love me? Why don't you show me that you love me? There's a yearn, a desire, a need in that person. But when it comes out, it's so pent up and it's so frustrated that it's just this like lashing of anger. We call it the 10-pound cannonball, or Dr. Gottman calls it the 10-pound cannonball. If I can't get through to you with sweetness, if I can't ask, you know, for something and have you respond, then I'm going to come through with the 10-pound cannonball and I'm going to yell at you. And then I'm going to hope that you feel loving towards me and that you want to snuggle. And I just think that's so interesting because I was like, I'm curious what makes that person lovable. Like, have you ever asked that question? Like, if I was my partner, what would I be attracted to? Did that come out
about me?
Yeah.
Like if I was Rebecca, what would I like about me?
Yeah. What would you be attracted to?
Probably how thin my face is.
Totally. So sexy.
It's a good question. I don't know if I've ever asked it in that way, but I do resonate with what you're feeling because I think I've had the same conversation. The last three sessions with clients have all been exactly the same. And it's basically been, they're talking about something, money or his kids in one kind of blended family situation, or today it was about the business that they run together, and they're talking about it doesn't matter what they're talking about, but they're having the exact same conversation and they just slide into these patterns, this kind of trading cannonballs.
Yeah.
And I kind of go, isn't this boring? I tell them, aren't you bored of this conversation right now? And they universally are, but they don't know how to get out of it. And I think that's, I keep going, no matter what, you can still be kind.
Right.
Doesn't matter what you're talking about. You can be kind. Mm-hmm. You can be curious.
But
you
that doesn't get a reaction. Cause here's the thing, like you reward what you want more of. And unfortunately, I think if you don't respond, if you're not getting the response that you want out of your partner, you know, maybe you want your partner to do something for you. So you ask, you know, can you please just pick the towels up off of the floor and put them on the hanger? And you ask three times, they don't respond. And then finally you come out with your guns blazing and you're unkind, but you get a reaction out of your partner. Unfortunately, your partner reacting is rewarding sort of that bad behavior. And that cycle just continues to get reinforced every single time. And yet the partner who's criticizing says, why doesn't my partner love me? Why doesn't my partner show me kindness and all the gestures that I want them to? And it's interesting because it's like, would you reward your partner with kindness after they just got done berating you?
Yeah. I mean, and this is where it goes back to, kind of this, what you're talking about is what might be called turning against, right? We talk about making a bid.
Right.
And so I'm going to turn against that bid by being mean or by pulling out my cannonball. The thing that's interesting to me is that, especially in therapy, I'll correct that, right? I'll say, hey, let's try something else. Like, this isn't working. So why don't you try a different thing? And so they'll say, like, what should I try? And I'll say something like, hey, we have a problem that we want to solve and we both want the same thing. What's hard about that is that I think we get conditioned to not let repair attempts be successful.
Right.
Right. And so I think we need to reward the repair attempts in the way that you're describing. When somebody says, Hey, I think that we want the same thing and let's try and be kind, you ought to go, you know what? Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. Let's just chill for 1 second and reward that, because that is going to bring, it's exactly what you're saying. You're reinforcing what you really what you're really hoping for.
Okay. I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent because I am reading this book. It's called Atomic Habits. It's by James Clear, and I love habits. I love learning about the brain and how we modify good behavior, bad behavior, whatever it might be. But one of the concepts is this whole idea of rewarding. And I think that what you were just tapping on is a really important piece to recognize, is that we talk a lot about behaviors in relationships, good behaviors, bad behaviors, and we're talking about rewarding. And I think that it's really important that we might get in a habit of reinforcing really small good habits or really small good behaviors. So like, okay, for example, your partner, you and your partner get into the cycle, the vicious cycle. One of you is critical, the other one of you is defensive. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I just remembered Zach told me I should offer a repair. So you offer some sort of repair. You say something like, ooh, this is not working. You know what? Let's just start over. So that's a repair. It would be amazing if couples could then reinforce that by being super stoked that you got excited and you remembered a repair and you rewarded it. You're like, yes, look at you. You are amazing. You just remembered how to get us out of this vicious cycle. It's so great. So you just rewarded the tiniest little gesture of a repair. And every time you reward that, now your partner is like, yeah, I did do that. I did do great. I'm going to do that again. And now they become like the repair master in the relationship. So I think it's a good idea to really be diligent about rewarding the small wins every opportunity that you get and be obnoxious about it. Get out a freaking cowbell and ring the cowbell. Be like the guys at Trader Joe's. One ding, two ding, three dings. Yeah. What do they mean?
Yeah. What you're describing though puts a lot of pressure, I don't think pressure is the right word, but it means that you have to participate with your partner.
Oh, that's so weird. Why would I ever ask that you participate?
Well, but I also want to put some responsibility back on the actor, right? The first actor to not need someone to.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Reward them for being good.
Reward yourself. Like, recognize... Yeah. You don't necessarily have to reward your partner and stroke them and be like, ooh, that was a really good behavior. Do that again. But reward yourself. Like, go back over the day. I ask couples all this all the time. You meet with me and I say, what have you done right? What's been going well in the relationship? But maybe you could do that on a nightly basis. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you know what? I was awesome. I was kick-ass today at not being defensive because you said this one thing. And I could have gotten defensive, but I didn't. And I deserve a gold star for today. Reward yourself.
Okay. You're good at that.
I am definitely good at that. I toot my own horn because if I don't toot my own horn, who else is?
I'm not that good at it. So I have to practice maybe.
I'll help you.
No, you're sweet.
I want to take a moment and invite you to an opportunity to connect with Zach and I in the flesh over a weekend couples retreat in Seattle, Washington. We host couples retreats quarterly, and our next retreat is happening on March 22nd and 23rd in Seattle. And if you think you have learned a thing or two from this podcast, just wait until we unleash the truth bombs on you in this workshop. This retreat will have you rediscovering your connection, learning the principles of successful conflict management, and getting on the same page about your future. I do want you to register early, like today, because we're cutting off our registration at only 25 couples so that you can get the most out of us on March 22nd and 23rd in Seattle, Washington. Just go to marriagetherapyradio.com and click on the tab at the top that says workshops to learn more.
I'm reading a book right now about George Washington.
How's that going?
It's all right. It's going slow.
Sounds boring. It's about an old white dead dude.
So I've got these three couples. They're arguing, but they're having the same argument over and over again. All I want them to do is to be kind. How would you tell me to help them do that?
I would say just really having a gratitude practice, focusing on the things that you appreciate about your partner. If you can keep in mind that you actually really do like your partner, you don't just love them, but you like them. And these are the things that you like about them. It's way easier to give your partner the benefit of the doubt and to be kind in those moments.
So I like that. It's kind of a, almost like, I like the way you phrased that question a little bit earlier, which is maybe you're lying in bed at the end of the day and you say, what did we get right?
Yeah.
You know, because I think I've probably said this a number of times, but I do think that it's universal that couples in general want the same thing, which is to go to bed feeling more connected and less sad.
Yeah. Hashtag right? Zach Riddle. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just think to ask that question with intention is, what did we get right? You know, that's more connected and less sad. You know, the other thing that I made a couple do yesterday?
Oh, do tell.
She got
do
mad.
Do you want to build a snowman?
She got mad and like turned her whole body away. I had him online there on video. And I was like, let's try something. Why don't you just turn your shoulders back into the relationship? Like literally, I mean, if your brain can't do it, let's just turn your shoulders.
Yeah.
So she turned her shoulders and she still left her neck up here. Like this, you know? and I was like, now let's try your neck, just see what's going on. And I asked her, and this, I said, what's your brain doing? Do you feel more connected, less connected? She goes, I feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's amazing. Like that your body is connected to your thing. So I think, again, we're talking about turning, we're talking about allowing repair attempts to be successful. We're talking about choosing kindness. We're talking about being lovable, right? The person that you want to be.
Like, okay, here's a question I would ask. And I have to comment because I'm learning about skiing. I went cross country skiing for the very first time. And for those of you who know what it feels like after you haven't cross country skied, my hip flexors were on fire. But I did a 5K the very first time out, which apparently is a lot of work. I don't know. But the whole idea with skiing is that you face your shoulders. So like my son was telling me this, my 4-year-old, he said, Mom, if you want to turn, you point your shoulders in the direction that you want to go. And then the rest of your body moves. And I think that that's kind of like what you were talking about is you had to move your shoulders in the direction that you wanted to move. And the direction that ultimately you want to move into is more connection with your partner. So you have to move towards your partner. And I think oftentimes we're just sort of at a stalemate where you're waiting for your partner to move toward you. If you move closer to me, then I'll move closer to you.
Yeah.
But realistically, you have to start with your own shoulders and you have to move your shoulders in the direction of where you want to go for more connection.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's my whole metaphor. And I forgot what my other topic was. So we'll just move away. It was probably something super brilliant always.
Yeah. Probably about George Washington. I don't know why I told you that.
Because we both love books and
I think I'm almost done with this book. Like it's like, I'm almost done.
Do you give up on books midway?
Sometimes. I remember being in college and my professor for the first time said, you don't have to finish a book you don't like. And I was like, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
You don't have to.
It's like a game changer.
Yeah.
That was a piece of advice that I wanted to read last year, 60 books. I read somewhere that the top CEOs read 60 books a year. And I'm definitely a top CEO of Laura Heck Enterprises. I'm going to read 60 books. And I took off on this. If you even go back and look at my social media feed, it's like, I'm reading these 5 books this month. And
right on. Yeah,
I can tell you that I probably finished 1 out of 5. And the reason being that I read that there's this piece of advice. If you want to make reading more enjoyable, then you read the books you want to read. You stop reading the books that don't interest you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's sort of like you're reinforcing positive things. If you stop doing the negative stuff that you don't like and you keep doing more stuff, I can literally tell that you're disengaged from me because you're now reading the news on your computer.
No, I'm not.
Uh-huh.
I'm not. I'm not reading the news. I don't even like the news. The news is depressing right now. I'm actually reading about my sick kid who's trying to come home from her play date right now.
Oh, and the weather report. It's
and I can't
outside.
Help. I can't help.
Hmm.
Hey, right. Let's talk a little bit about our workshop because I want to tee Elizabeth up because she called us and she was super nice to us to tell us about it. But
yeah. Okay. So I'll tell you about the workshop and I will. Yeah. So it's March 22nd and 23rd. It's in the same venue that we had it. So it's in the Wells Fargo building in downtown Seattle.
Yeah.
We have
super swanky place. Like
so it's awesome.
It's a hot spot.
The view is amazing. It's this beautiful view that overlooks the water. And so when we do our workshops, we start them on a Friday night and they go from 6 until 9 p.m. So what I recommend is that couples make a whole weekend out of this. So get a hotel room, go out for a nice early like blue plate special dinner, and then come see us at 6 o'clock. Blue Plate Special, isn't that for old people? You know what I'm talking about? Where they eat at like 4 in the evening?
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Okay, all right. So you come see us on a Friday
night. Go to happy
night.
Hour. Go to happy hour. Yes. And get us a nice little happy hour dinner, soda. Appetizers and stuff. Yeah. And then come see us. Yeah.
Come see us. We will do a lot of friendship building on that first night. So we kind of call it like our date night on Friday night because it's really fun. We're building intimacy on that first night. And then you come back the next morning from 9 until 3. And that's where we really dive into what the meat and potatoes of your learning is all about.
Skill building.
Every workshop that we do, you're going to be spending 80% of the time talking to your partner. So it's not just you're listening to Zach and I with our monologue standing before you, although we are pretty fun. but you are working with your partner. So if you don't have a partner, you can't come to the workshop. Sorry.
And don't take our word for it. Take Elizabeth's word for it. Because she called our special phone number.
My husband and I have absolutely loved working with Zach and the Gottman Method. It has been a game changer, just like learning how to squat differently so you don't keep screwing up your knee. You have to learn new patterns and behaviors and practice them. And he's been amazing. And he and Laura together with the podcast and their workshop, the way they interact, the way they use examples, and just their authenticity and direct just way of presenting and showing up has been so refreshing. And truly, I think anybody in relationship, I don't care what kind of relationship, would benefit from learning and listening and being a part of what they have to offer. It has just truly been a game changer for my husband and I, which a few years ago would have thought we would not still be together, even though he's the love of my life. So I'm so appreciative to them and their courage to say things that need to be said, to confront things that need to be confronted, and just share their own stories and their struggles and how it's working for them as well, which I just love. So thanks, Laura and Zach. Hugs.
Just know if you leave your voice on this, I'm going to tell you that we are going to put it on the air. So
you should probably put a disclaimer. If you leave a message,
yes,
you
it's
are
going
consenting.
On the air.
You're consenting to have your voice on the air.
And will somebody please just humor me and either tell me a dad joke or make a fart noise? And I will be listening to these. That would make me so happy. You have no
idea. Promise to call and leave you a dad joke.
Okay, but we'll put it on the air. All right, Zach. Until next time.
Yeah, I think we're talking tomorrow too, right? That's going to be fun. Well, maybe. We'll find out. Till next time. I got to go back and shovel snow and help my
sick kids. No, you have clients.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I got clients. Then I'm going to work out. Then I'm going to snuggle show.
Yeah, you're going to do all the stuff.
I'm going to snuggle show.
Goodbye, Zach. It's over. We're done.
We're bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. If you are interested in leaving us a review, a question, maybe letting us know how much you love the podcast, you can call in and leave a voicemail. So let's make it maybe 60 seconds or shorter. The phone number is 801-810-6197. That's 801-810-6197. It's going to go straight to voicemail. We're going to take that as permission to play it on the air. So next time you listen to the podcast, maybe your voice will be featured. Thank you for all the time and attention that you've been putting into your relationship, making it better today than it was yesterday.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.